TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. Arming the Heavens. The United States Air Force plan to place nuclear power and weapons in space. One of TUC Radio's most popular programs, to my great surprise, was a reading from PNAC, the Project for the New American Century. Here today is the sequel, a reading from an important Air Force document. The Project for the New American Century was a blueprint for the foreign policy of the first Bush administration that predicted the war on Iraq and plans for American global dominance. It was written by Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, and others long before they came to power. The document contains a chapter on weapons in space. And that also is becoming reality. On page 54 of the PNAC document, the authors write that to achieve global dominance, the U.S. needs to, quote, place sensors and weapons in space. Unrestricted use of space has become a major strategic interest of the United States, end of quote. In January of 2005, the Air Force posted an updated version of the Transformation Flight Plan on their website. It is a plan to place nuclear power and weapons in space, and it is dead serious. In the executive summary, the Air Force declares that this document is not a wish list, but an account of, quote, decisions, information, and initiatives already made, end of quote. The Transformation Flight Plan is the culmination and progress report of a largely hidden and secret development that began in the late 1990s. Carl Grossman, author of the book Weapons in Space, comments on the publication.
This U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan is extremely important because basically what the U.S. military wants to do, and certainly the Bush administration under Donald Rumsfeld, is to control space and from space be able to dominate the planet below. This has been going on for years. The late 90s, General Joseph Ashy, commander-in-chief of the Space Command, at that time, he was speaking about expanding into space control and space force application because they'll be increasingly important. And I'm quoting this guy, we'll engage terrestrial targets someday, ships, airplanes, land targets from space. We'll engage targets in space, from space. Or one only has to go to New World Vistas, again, a predecessor report, Air and Space Power for the 21st Century. This is done by an Air Force board, which speaks of how in the next two decades, new technologies will allow the fielding of space-based weapons of devastating effectiveness, lasers with reasonable mass and cost to effect very many kills.
That's Carl Grossman. I reached him at the end of March 2005. You are about to hear excerpts from the stark military language of the Transformation Flight Plan, read by performer and activist Dave Lipman. He begins with a mission statement by the U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff and the Secretary of the Air Force.
For those of us charged with protecting the United States, new national security realities have forced us to redefine our enemies as well as our concepts of defense. As we prepare to fight these new enemies, we recognize the campaigns of the future will involve all elements of our nation's might, economic, diplomatic, information, investigative, and military power, and will require us to develop new concepts of operation technologies and organizational constructs that will enable us to address these new challenges. It is these new challenges, as well as historic opportunities to exploit revolutionary technology, that underscore the absolute necessity of transforming our military capabilities. The U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan presents this service's ongoing transformation to meet these new challenges. John P. Jumper, General, United States Air Force Chief of Staff. Dr. James G. Roche, Secretary of the Air Force. Providing strategic context, what is transformation? Why transformation? There have been two separate but related transformations of the U.S. military over the past decade that will continue for the foreseeable future. The first is the transformation from an industrial age force to an information age force. Vast leaps in information technology in the areas of intelligence, surveillance, and command and control, as well as precision kinetic and non-kinetic weapons, directed energy weapons, both laser and microwave, are dramatically reshaping warfare. Some refer to this as the ongoing revolution in military affairs. The Air Force believes there are 16 transformational capabilities. They include air and space superiority, protection and survivability of vital space assets, negation of an adversary's access to space services, missile destruction in flight, detection of ballistic and cruise missile launches and destruction of those missiles in flight, rapid and precise attack of any target on the globe with persistent effects, rapid global mobility, rapid establishment of air operations, an air bridge, and movement of military capability in support of operations anywhere in the world under any conditions, responsive launch and operation of new space vehicles, and refueling, repair, relocation of future on-orbit assets. Preliminary unclassified lessons learned analyses from Operation Iraqi Freedom indicate that the Air Force has achieved significant advances in many of these transformational capabilities since Operation Enduring Freedom. Key examples include improved joint operations to include the air component coordination element and battlefield airmen modernization, blue force tracking, unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, time-sensitive targeting, expeditionary force modules, embedded contingency response groups, more agile logistics, greatly expanded special operations, unprecedented command and control, integration of space operations, integration of space operations at the strategic, operational, and tactical levels, and combat weather teams. General John P. Jumper, Chief of Staff, United States Air Force, says, quote, "We've got to learn to think in terms of integration so that we end up with a cursor over the target and we are indifferent to how we got there," end quote. Transformation must be a joint effort if it is to succeed. The teaming of all Department of Defense assets in ways the adversary cannot imagine and to which it has no response is a key cornerstone of the U.S. military's advantage. The Air Force puts a premium on joint enablers. In fiscal years 2004 to 2009, the Air Force will spend 23% of its total obligation authority on joint combat forces such as close air support fighters and gunships, loitering indirect fires, and advanced air-to-ground munitions. It will also spend 41% on critical joint force enablers such as air and space C4ISR, command, control, communications, computers, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, airlift, and tankers. The Joint Unmanned Combat Air System Office was stood up on 1 October 2003 to address Air Force and Navy unmanned combat aerial vehicle issues. This joint office will create standards that will allow unmanned combat aerial vehicles to be built along common lines with the hope of decreasing costs while retaining interoperability. Joint Space Operations. The Air Force's Joint Warfighting Space Initiative will provide the Joint Force Commander with a dedicated, on-call, rapid-reaction, networked space capability that is integrated with other existing national security space systems. The Air Force has increased the unity of effort with the National Reconnaissance Office to bring a joint perspective to its role as the Department of Defense's executive agent for space. The Air Force has fostered enhanced civil-military integration between Air Force Space Command, the intelligence community, as well as the civil space community. Experimentation. Air Force experimentation is a discovery process that facilitates achieving the Air Force vision and identifies innovative and revolutionary operations and logistics concepts. As part of joint expeditionary force experiments, live-fly execution is conducted to validate the operational usefulness of experimental capabilities in a realistic environment. The Air Force leverages existing live-fly infrastructure at Nellis Air Force Base, Nevada, to execute the experiments in an efficient and safe manner, and to combine live-fly, virtual, and constructive forces in an operational, realistic environment. Joint Expeditionary Force Experiment applies air and space power in new and innovative ways to enhance Air Force distinctive capabilities and assess the operational utility of new concepts and capabilities. Virtual simulations such as airborne laser, F-35, and other futuristic capabilities can be part of Joint Expeditionary Force Experiment modeling and simulation architecture, as required, to support desired scenarios.
You are listening to reading from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, posted on the Air Force website in January of 2005. The plan is a progress report of the plans of the U.S. military to weaponize space and use these weapons systems that include space-based lasers, microwave weapons, particle beams, hypervelocity guns, radar, and orbiting battle stations to achieve and maintain global military dominance. As this program is being recorded in March 2005, the U.S. military has just concluded a 5-day war game to test space-based assets such as precision bomb guidance systems, satellite communication, and near-space aircraft operating above 65,000 feet that the Air Force plans to put into operation within a year. This classified war game was the third such space war game since 2001. The next segment of the Transformation Flight Plan begins with a paragraph on wargaming. Here's the reader, Dave Lipman.
Air Force war games explore emerging and future operational concepts, capabilities, and doctrine to evaluate the service's strategic plan and vision and refine the Air Force capabilities investment strategy in order to determine how air and space power can better support the joint commander and integrate with the other services. Space war games bring together leaders and planners from the services, the intelligence community, commercial space providers, and departments, agencies, and offices to explore the in-depth integration of space into the joint fight. These war games explore space warfare issues in detail. They are bringing together the best strategic and operational minds to focus on the future of space power. Air and Space Expeditionary Force, AEF. Despite a 30% reduction in manpower over the past 12 years, the Air Force has faced an exponential increase in worldwide tasking. This has required transforming the Air Force from a threat-based, forward-deployed force designed to fight the Cold War to a capabilities-based force based primarily in the United States that is sufficiently flexible to conduct a wide range of operations throughout the world. Air and Space Expeditionary Force rotational forces and forward permanent-based forces underpin the Air Force policy for providing global AEF presence. National Security Space Transformation. Following the direction of the Commission to Assess United States National Security Space Management and Organization, more commonly known as the Space Commission, the Air Force, Office of the Secretary of Defense, other services, and the National Reconnaissance Office began transforming how national security space is managed and organized. These sweeping changes include career force development, acquisition, operations, budgeting, and planning at the National Department of Defense and Air Force levels. The Undersecretary of the Air Force has been designated as the Department of Defense Executive Agent for Space, with broad responsibilities for developing and transforming national security space capabilities. The Space and Missile Systems Center has also been realigned under Air Force Space Command to enhance space professional development and provide cradle-to-grave management of space systems. The Air Force acquisition of space systems is now conducted under National Security Space Guidance rather than Air Force guidance. In addition, the Secretary of the Air Force approved the Air Force Space Professional Strategy to establish and sustain a cadre of space professionals. The strategy outlines new and enhanced education and training opportunities and addresses methods to build a team of scientists, engineers, program managers, and operators skilled and knowledgeable in developing, acquiring, applying, sustaining, and integrating space capabilities.
You're listening to Reading from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, posted on the Air Force website in January of 2005. The document is a progress report on the plans of the U.S. military to achieve global dominance by the weaponization of space and plans to deny other countries access to space. The publication of the Transformation Flight Plan coincides with the announcement of the new Pentagon defense policy on March 18, 2005. Approved by Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, the policy calls for preventive intervention against so-called terrorist activities inside the territories of other nations. Although defense officials try to play down such infringement on the sovereignty of other nations, the Transformation Flight Plan shows that the Air Force has already developed space-based plans for global persistent attacks and global strikes. Here's the reader, Dave Lipman.
Global Persistent Attack Concepts of Operation. The future global environment presents the U.S. military a substantial array of potential challenges, adversaries, and operating environments. Rogue states, failed and failing states, also threaten regional stability. These rogue and failing states often prove to be supporters of international terrorist and criminal organizations, or are unable to curtail the activities of these organizations within their borders. In this environment, rogue states and malicious non-state actors combine to produce catastrophic potential for proliferation and indiscriminate use of weapons of mass effects. Accordingly, future engagements will increasingly focus on stabilization of the world order. Though major combat operations against competent regional powers and near-peer competitors may be less likely than the foregoing conflicts, the global persistent attacks concepts of operation must balance capabilities to address the most demanding scenarios as well. This concept of operation defines a spectrum of capabilities applicable across a wide range of military operations, from major combat operations to peacekeeping and sustainment operations. Achieving and maintaining air, space, information, and decision dominance is an ongoing challenge that continues into persistent operations. Global persistent attack is the application of capabilities-based planning to achieve full-spectrum dominance. In order to successfully engage and defeat the enemy, global persistent attack capabilities are required. Global strike concepts of operation. The global strike concepts of operation are a power projection concept designed to enable joint forces to meet access and time challenges across a unified battle space of sea, air, land, space, and cyberspace. It inverts the conventional approach by relying heavily on long-range systems at the initiation of conflict. The concept is to mask the desired effects from air, sea, space, and infosphere before massing theater forces. The majority of initial strike effects are from systems outranging the threat, initially deploying only those forces required to enable attack operations. These initial strikes may include neutralizing the adversary's anti-access systems, paving the way for follow-on persistent forces under the global persistent attack concepts of operation, which define the capabilities needed to continue after the initial anti-access campaign. These strikes may also neutralize key high-value targets in the opening stages of a crisis or conflict. For smaller-scale strikes of limited national objectives, the global strike concepts of operation provides the capability to rapidly attack fleeting or emergent high-value targets without warning, anywhere on the globe, normally within hours or even minutes. Space and C4ISR. Command, control, communications, computers, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. Concepts of operation. The concepts of operation fundamental objective is to identify and define capabilities needed by the Air Force to achieve the right mix of assets for supporting joint and combined operations at all levels of conflict and in all operational environments, and to provide predictive battle space awareness, facilitate and conduct precision attack, and compress the sensor-to-shooter kill chain. Ultimately, the space and C4ISR concepts of operation advocate the evolution of strategic, operational, and tactical capabilities that result in globally responsive and persistent forces that become the centerpiece of joint command and control architectures and deliver decision dominance, the key to gaining supremacy in all environments. Intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance provide warfighters with information on the constantly changing battle space. Intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance must be available at all echelons of the joint warfighting force. This capability must employ manned and unmanned, air, space, surface, and subsurface sensors to develop and maintain an accurate picture of the battle space. Dr. James Roche, Secretary of the Air Force, says, quote, "The force we are building will employ multi-mission systems with multi-spectral fused air and space sensors and robust all-weather weapons delivery with increased standoff capability. We will deploy with reduced logistics tails. We will attack with improved range, payload, speed, maneuverability, and precision. We will network these systems in ways that enable us to find, fix, track, target, engage, and assess in timelines unimaginable just a few years ago. It is our goal to have consistent, persistent intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. And once a decision to attack is made, we will attack instantaneously." End quote.
You are listening to reading from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan. There's also a rather worrisome paragraph on homeland security in that text, indicating that global control and surveillance extends to the people of the United States, not just to the territory of other nations.
Homeland security concepts of operation. The objective of these concepts of operation is to aid in the transformation of Air Force homeland security planning, programming, requirements, and acquisition processes through Air Force capabilities that support the National Strategy for Homeland Security Objectives, Strategic Planning Guidance, and the Quadrennial Defense Review. The Homeland Security concepts of operation address three primary problem areas. 1. Defending the homeland through air and space power in an interagency environment within legal and resource constraints. 2. Ensuring proactive coordination with and responsive actions to requests for assistance from local, state, and lead federal agencies without compromising combat mission capabilities. And 3. Preserving the ability to project forces overseas in a terrorist threat environment and provide for their protection. These concepts of operation encompass only those missions with points of effort within the territories of the United States and its littoral waters out to 500 nautical miles. More significantly, the domestic character of the Homeland Security mission connotes that force employment, especially intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, must occur within the guidelines set forth by law. Provisions within Title 10, 18, 32, and 50 of the United States Code to include the Posse Comitatus Act.
That was the first half of a two-part reading by Dave Lipman from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, posted in January of 2005 on the Air Force website. The Transformation Flight Plan shows that the U.S. Air Force is aggressively pursuing dominance in space. The few observers who have kept up with this underreported issue, such as Dr. Helen Caldicott, the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and the Center for Defense Information, are warning that such policies will set in motion an international arms race in space. Come back for part two of the reading from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan that will begin with a segment on nuclear weapons in space. Carl Grossman just found evidence of the ongoing plans for the use of nuclear material in space.
I'm just back from Idaho, where I was speaking around the state on the plans by the Department of Energy to consolidate, the department calls it, the production of a particular isotope of plutonium 238 at what's now called the Idaho National Laboratory. And it appears that there's a very, very big link between the nuclearization of space, the use of nuclear material in space, and the weaponization in space, because, I mean, how are these weapons, how are these lasers and hypervelocity guns and particle beams to get their power? And the notion of our military planners and folks in the Bush administration is that that nuclear would be the ideal choice. Let me just note about this. If we're going to move, the United States, move up into space with nuclear-energized weapons, I assure you that it won't take long before China moves into space with weapons, and Russia moves into space with weapons, and who knows in coming decades who, I mean, if space is going to be this new military arena. And then just consider what the consequences would be of an exchange in space. I mean, if these lasers and hypervelocity guns and particle beams start shooting at each other, there'll be so much debris in space. I mean, there's plenty of junk up there now. There would be so much debris in space for people listening who are concerned about the space program and exploration of space and so forth. I mean, there would be no way up and out for humanity for millennia.
That's Carl Grossman, author of Weapons in Space. You heard part one of a two-part program on the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, a plan that reveals how the Air Force plans to weaponize space. The reader was Dave Lipman, social critic and activist. He's using music and comedy to get his message across. You can find links to the full text of the Transformation Flight Plan and to the organizations that oppose the weaponization of space on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can get information how to order a copy of the complete one-hour reading on Arming the Heavens by calling us. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations. Your tape or CD order is the only support we receive and helps us stay on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape or CD by mail or credit card, by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number 877-TUC-TAPE translates into 1-877-882-8273. My name is Mariah Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.